Believe that? But you see, that's the way that God is. He is a God of change. And he doesn't change, but he has things that we get used to, and then he changes it. Some of those are good. Some of those are not so good. I was in Romania this summer. Every summer I've gone to Romania for 20 years, and they are having like 80-degree weather, and they're saying, foarte cald, foarte cald. Now, you can't figure out how that cald could mean hot. It sounds like cold, you know, cald. But it's cold. I mean, it's hot. And so they thought it was hot at 80 degrees. Now, this year when we went, we were hot. I mean, it was a heat wave like I'd never seen. So when you face a new season of summer, sometimes other than the fact that you might get a vacation or you might get to go swimming or fishing more or sweat more or do more yard work, you know, it's a change that is there. But at our conference in August and September, we had one of our ministers from Mexico, from the border, that shared on seasons of life and how that that we sometimes cannot understand why that season is there. But that is the way God does things. I like things in order. When I get up in the morning, I do certain things at a certain time. And if I ever get out of order, well, I forget to take my medicine. Now, you know, I don't really take medicine. It's a blood pressure thing, and it's vitamins and all of that kind of stuff, you know. But I usually take it with my coffee. Now, Charlotte says, why don't you just eat first? Well, I'll forget to take the medicine because it's out of order. So we like normalcy, see. We like things to be regular, to be comfortable. But there are times that we have to enter in and realize that it's a season, it's a change. There are things that are happening that are going to be a little different. And so we see a season here at the Church of Living Hope as we embark on year 21. And so we're going to be having a few little different things happen. But they asked me to preach this morning just to basically say that God is in control and that we are going to have a good time of moving into this season. And I believe it's going to be some bad weather, but some good weather too. And so we have to have the storms in order to have the green grass, you see. And so there are things there that we are just able to have that is going to require some change. But we're going to move right on through because God's in control and that he is having a good calling on Pastor Philip and Joy and Krista, Kayla, and Hannah. Krista, for sure, Wednesday, flying away from us, going to Romania on a one-way ticket. That's a change. What a wonderful place to go. Krista, I am so sorry that I can't go Wednesday. I really am. You see, I've always said I am not going back to Romania till tomorrow afternoon when the plane leaves. But she's going to get to go. I don't even get to go and live in Mexico like Pastor Philip might be doing. I've always wanted to. 2.5 months one time. It was the joyous time of our lives as we lived in right downtown Mexico City. And Kimberly was there. Yeah, she was sick for how many hours? But she got well. And there's two churches there today because of that, you see. But we recognize that God calls us into different situations and there are changes that take place. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the promises of God. And most of the time, a promise involves waiting. Now, as I thought about that, I thought about young couples that get engaged. It's a promise. There's a ring that is given, and it's a promise. But then there's a time of waiting and planning and preparing. And so whenever we get a promise from God, many times that we have to have a time of waiting. And I'm going to talk to you from the book of Jeremiah this morning, several scriptures. If you want to turn to Jeremiah, I want to begin with just to understand Jeremiah from chapter 1, verse 4. You know, I opened my Bible this morning. I'd been studying off of, you know, computers and so on, but I like the pages too. And I opened it, and right there was this leaf. Now, this fell in my Bible through a window in India, I believe, several years ago. It's still there. See, it's just right there. And so we can pray for India this morning. But Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. What a portfolio. What a job description that God gave him. But let's think about what he said there. He said, first of all, I know you. And I know you. You say you've got limitations. You say you're just a youth. But I know you. And I know what's in you. I know what I can do with you. That if we will give our lives to the Lord, he has usefulness. I believe that the prayer that Robert prayed there was about how that God wants to use every one of us in his kingdom for those purposes. I was with a pastor this week. I've been traveling a lot, but I kind of got finished with that. Don't have too much more to do. One more trip to Mexico and then a trip to Israel and then to Mexico at Christmas. I think that'll wind the year up. But I was with a pastor this week, and he said that he said to his congregation, God has got a ministry for each one of you. He said, now pray and ask God what it is and come and tell me. He said, Joe, these people came to me and they said, God has called us to have a ministry to the people waiting to see their friends and family inside the county jail. And they're all out front. And said, so we even came up with a name. It's called Lifting Inmate Families Everywhere, LIFE. And said we go and we take them water and we take them soft drinks and we talk to them as they're waiting. And the sheriffs thought it was a great idea, and he gave us permission to do it. Said, you know, and here was a need in the community that the pastor didn't find it, but those people, as they prayed, God said, this is what he wants me to do. I said, well, that's kind of like what they're doing for the guards down there at Huntsville. They give them water as they come to work, and they give them soft drinks as they come to work in order to bless them. But you see, they could have said, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, but God put in their hearts that there was something that they could do. An old song that we sang years ago, it's a song of prayer, Jesus, use me, oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do, though it may be humble, help my will to crumble, though it be great, I'll work for you, something like that. But you see, it's like, use me, Lord. Surely there's a need, that there's something that I can do. And that's the way Jeremiah started out his life, as it was there. And then as we move on into the text of the message this morning, Jeremiah 29, we find that at this time the Jewish people were taken into captivity. And it was because of their disobedience. God did not want that. He wanted to bless them. He delivered them from Egypt, but they began to serve other gods. They began to join themselves like the people around them. They began to look and say, I want to try their gods out and see if they'll work. My God is waiting too long to answer my prayer. Things are getting rough. You know how the whole story of the complainers, I don't have food, I don't have water, I don't have meat. And so that was the multitude of people that God had to work with. Well, here they were, but God had not given up on them, and God hasn't given it up on you. And he says here that there were even false prophets there that were talking about an instant deliverance. And there are people today that they don't talk about the difficulties of life. everything's rosy and everything is just prosperous and successful. But you see, there are going to be some seasons where there's going to be difficulties. And I am one that believes that we are in the end time and there's going to be more difficult times for us as true believers, because there's going to be a persecution, there's going to be testing, and so we're going to have to recognize that there could be those around us giving the prophecies that are not right. I think Pastor Philip called it prophelying, instead of prophesying. And there was prophelying, say an instant deliverance, but Jeremiah challenges them to wait, just to wait. Wait and see what the Lord is going to do. Now, when you've had the strength of the past, when you've had the miracles of the past, I've got to pace a little bit for your sake, that you've had that happen, then you can go back and say, well, God didn't fail me then. He's not going to fail me now. And that faith can rise up within you, and you can recognize the goodness of God during the difficult times, that promise is there, and that we can wait for it to happen. Waiting's difficult, but that's when we rest on God's character. That's when we rest on God's promises. And I'm, for one, a believer in the promises of God. They're all through the Scriptures. Read them. Let God's character be known to you, that He is a faithful God. He is a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a judging God. He's a God of justice and mercy. But we can depend upon the promises of God. Now, here's my message today. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, that is used a lot these days, that scripture. But, you know, maybe today we can look at some background of that scripture and see the more fullness of that than just the fact that we have a future and we have a hope. I believe that we do. I believe that the Dillon family has a future and a hope. And I just give this message to you this morning and to Krista as she leaves Wednesday, that there's a future and that there's a hope. And for this church, that there's a future and there's a hope, that we believe that that's what God is wanting to say and what He is wanting to do with His people, with us today as a congregation. 20 years ago, we rented a little building. It was the first Sunday in October, 1990. Before some of you were born, I'm sure, but it was there over on Urban Street. It was actually a former auto dealership, Pontiac dealership. I think my dad bought a little foreign car out of there and drove it out of that same building. And we went in there and we rented that, and we put up some handmade signs, and one said hope and one said help. Well, that's what we were wanting to portray to people going up and down the street. In fact, it had glass windows like any auto dealership would have. And so everybody walking by or passing by, or police cars, taxis, whatever, well, they looked in. They saw us with our hands up. They didn't know what it was all about. They thought a bunch of people are trying to get permission to go to the bathroom, maybe. But we had our hands up. Or maybe they were dancing a little bit. Or maybe that worship team was there. But that was... Our whole emphasis was that we want to bring hope, we want to bring help to this side of town that is there. And then if you will look at a little background, let's look at it, Jeremiah 29, verse 10. And we see here, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed, can you read that, at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, there's two verses in line there, and God is saying, I will perform my good word towards you. I will cause you to return to this place, and I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And we sang this morning, your thoughts are higher than mine. And so God's thoughts and our thoughts can be two different things. You can have a thought of discouragement, despair, whereas God is thinking thoughts of, well, when this season is over, I'm going to bless. I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to give this victory. I'm going to give this breakthrough. I'm going to give this solution. And we can worry all night about it, and yet God has already chosen He's got thoughts that he's thinking towards us, and that his thoughts are higher than ours. And so then it goes on in verse 12, and it says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." I will listen to you. We have a God that hears us when we pray. I will listen to you. And look at verse 13. "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Now, there's a message right there. It says here that you will seek me. So we are to seek the Lord. We're to seek the Lord. And in Spanish, there's about three different forms of seeing and looking. But buscar means to search after, to seek after God, to seek. It's more than just casually doing. It is seeking Him. Seeking Him, you will find Him. And when you search for me with all your heart, what does that mean? To be able to search for Him with all of your heart. There's different forms of prayer. And basically, I'm going to tell you this morning that during this time of transition, we need prayers. We need people that are hearing from God, that are seeking God, that are calling upon the Lord. And that it means that we are to seek Him. We are to call upon Him. We're to search for Him with all of our heart. Now, Paul says this in some of his letters. He says, "I make mention of you in my prayers." I make mention of you in my prayers. So that is one form of prayer. And I try to do that. I try to add new people to my prayer list and call their names and I can do that on a regular basis. I can make mention of people and usually I can even do the children as well. Bill and Linda, Aaron, Seth, Charity, John, Peter, Faith, Hope, Jonas, and Nicholas. Wow, I got through that. Let me try the Harveys. I can do it, but I won't do it right now. But you know, that's making mention of you in our prayers. And I was in a meeting back in Denver in the summer, and the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God was speaking, Dr. George Wood. And someone asked him about his prayer life, and because we were having just an open conversation with him. And he said, "Ask me anything." And someone said, "What's your prayer life like?" He said, "Well, I have about 250 people on my prayer list." And he said, "I try to pray for them every day." He said, "But as far as prayers for me, I just say, God, give me wisdom that I might make the right decision." So that's what I pray for myself. But then he said, you know, the scripture that says pray without ceasing said it literally means a hacking cough. You know, that you don't really know when you're going to do it. It's like your throat gets a little ticklish. I've got some water here. And that you just, well, that's kind of how it is. And I know somebody here that prays like that. Patrick, he prays like that because he just goes by and he sees a bar and he just puts his hand like that, you know, and he sees something else. And when it comes to him, well, he's praying without ceasing, you see. He is praying without ceasing. We pray over the jail. We pray over the property. We pray over the people. And that is prayer, making mention or just as it comes to you. But I think praying and seeking God with your whole heart is a little different. I think it's what we used to call praying through. My father was a pastor. He said the problem is instead of people praying through, they get through praying. You see, they're just casually coming before the Lord. Praying through. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we recognize what is the difference between a casual prayer, a making mention of you in the prayer, a prayer without ceasing, or praying through, or getting serious about that prayer. I think it depends upon the need. In August of 1999, we had a prayer meeting going on at the church. We all left, and someone went one way, some went another. On my way home, I got a telephone call from Jody that there had been a tragic accident. About that time, I saw a helicopter coming over the car out on 69. I got down there past the Interstate 20. All I could see was red lights. And we had four of our people in intensive care. Two were reported dead. The next day, they had to change that. But that was Tom Hill and Patrick Heese and Henry and Melissa Large. Henry and Melissa were taken by the helicopters. They were there. Melissa was in a coma for weeks. Henry His family was in Livingston. I had to get special permission to be the person that could make a medical decision. And I just got that decision on a Saturday. And on a Sunday, they called me and they said, he's basically dying. And we were having a conference. And I left that Sunday afternoon. We had a graduation coming that night. But I said, I've got to go to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, I said, I don't know if seeing how many words you can say in 60 seconds is fervent prayer, or how loud you can talk is fervent prayer, or how much you can repent so that you'll be effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, so you'll be righteous. But I was crying out to God all the way. See, there's a difference when we really seek Him, when we're praying in that vein, where we're reaching out to Him, we're going forth with a pursuance. It's fervent. It's desperate that we're calling upon the Lord. That's when things begin to change. I got up there, and this African doctor stood there and watched him for 3 hours. And all of a sudden, he began to make a turn. And we rejoiced today that we could bring him home. And today, you know, he and Melissa are up in Minnesota serving the Lord. And it was a miracle, a miraculous thing that took place. But that's kind of what it means to fervently seek the Lord, to call upon Him with all of your heart, and to be there. And that sometimes that waiting is involved in that. I do believe that when Jesus commissioned His disciples to not go back, but go to Jerusalem and go to the upper room and to wait for the promise of the Father, during that time of tarrying, they were getting to where they were finding the Lord. They were seeking the Lord. Prayer. There's many times that we need to push on through. Maybe there's things that are hindering us from getting through to the presence of God. Yes, He's still there, but there's just that difference. We started out the Teen Challenge Ministry in Tyler with coffee houses. We had no idea what we were doing. I was so green that I was taking real drugs and putting them in glass cases to show people what the kids were giving up. I didn't realize that I was committing a crime and I was transporting drugs from county to county. I was so green. But you see, one thing I did know, we didn't have a model, is that we needed to pray. We needed to pray. So we would gather and we would, before we ever opened the coffee house, we would holler, we would scream, we would lay on our stomachs, lay on our backs until we felt like that we had touched God and we could open those doors and that people could be reached for the Lord. So there's a difference there. Verse 14 says, "And I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away." So He says, I'm going to bring you back. Now, there's in hermeneutics, well, you look at what did it mean to the original audience. How do you interpret the Scripture? What did it mean to the original audience? Now, how can I take that principle there and then and bring it into the here and now? Well, you see, we are people of captivity also. We are people that need to be brought back. There's reasons for the need for refilling with the Holy Spirit is because we leak. The reason for rededication is because we tend to fall away, that we tend to go in another direction. And so we see here that He says, I will bring you to the place where I've caused you. I'll bring you back. And we saw this literally happen in Israel in 1948. And in a few weeks, we're going to get to witness that. About 17 of us from this area are going to get to see that and to be able to see how that God continues to keep His promises to the Jewish people. He says He has thoughts of peace. What are those thoughts of peace that He gives? How can we understand that? Number one, that His love has moved towards those people, and His love has moved towards us. Yes, they fell away. They disappointed God, but He never gave up on them. And I want to tell you something today. You may have children. You may have relatives. You may have people you work with that you think that they would never come to the Lord. Don't give up on them, because God is thinking about them already. His love moved towards them. Number two, that He would perform His good word, His promises to them. that he would perform it because he keeps his word. Number three, that for this fulfillment, they must pray, they must seek, they must search for him with their whole heart, that he would hearken and that they would find him, that he would be listening and they would find him. And so they were to seek him with their whole heart. Page 2. You know, the Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so as we look at the prophet Jeremiah, called upon God as a very young person to speak out and give his whole life trying to challenge Israel to come back to the Lord. Well, we go to the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 10. I got an email this week from a former person that was here years ago, and somehow he said, I didn't tell him I was going to preach today, but he said, are you going to preach on John 10:10 next Sunday? Because I've been told that I can't preach unless I say the thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that's the prerequisite of this scripture here in verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, in Spanish, you know, in English we have pastor and shepherd. In Spanish, pastor, that's it. It's the one that takes care of the sheep, and it's the one that takes care of the sheep here. And someone said recently, every pastor needs to smell like the sheep. He needs to get out among them. He needs to smell like the sheep. He's one of them. He's the overseer, but the shepherd, but he is the pastor. But I tell you, now here during this transition, I want to tell you that missionary Philip, Pastor Dylan, is around for a while. We have Pastor Jason. We have Pastor Jody. We have Elder Robert. We have Elder Tim. We have Ministry Assistant Jerry. I probably missed somebody, but we have some people. But we have some people that are able to kind of help during this transition period. But even if we didn't, you know who the pastor is? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am. Yo soy el buen pastor. I am the good shepherd. And so he is the shepherd of the sheep. And it says that they're my sheep. I'm known by my own. Am known by my own. He knows that we are his. The Father knows me. Even so, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, prayer is both speaking and listening. I was raised right here in this area. And back before Kenneth Hagin ever became wide known, he held a revival for my father. And we were there over on 2nd Street in Tyler and had a prayer meeting in the mornings. And he was laying on the platform. And I remember his prayer. This is what it was. Okay. Never thought of that. That's good. Okay. I will. You see, he was listening to the voice of the shepherd. And God was speaking. And he was responding. You see, it's both speaking and listening. John 10, verse 3. Is that right? Did I get that right? To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Oh, I tell you, if we can realize that God knows everything about you, and he knows your name, he knows your situation, there's no surprises to him. We sang a little song as a child in children's church. He sees all you do, and he hears all you say. My God is watching all the time. And that we are able to realize that he knows our name. You are not a foreigner. You are not a stranger to God. In fact, before you became one of his sheep, you were still his creation, and he knew you then. My goodness, that's a lot of people to keep up with. But that's the greatness of our God. He says he calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. His sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I ask you this morning, do you know the voice of God? Can you tell the difference between your own pursuits and your own flesh and the voice of God? Do you know that difference that is there? The voice of God. The followers of Jesus know his voice. They hear him and they follow him. Now back to Jeremiah. It says here that he is in prison. In fact, 33:1 says he is still in prison. Some of us understand what that means. Some of us understand that it don't have a TDC number. But the prison of life has captivated us. The addictions of life have captivated us to where that we feel like that, is it ever going to change? Is it ever going to be a solution to the dilemma, the situation, the family problem, the financial problem? Is there ever going to be a change? And we can recognize with Jeremiah, he was still in prison. That means that he was there and at different times and different situations. If you read the scriptures, the background of that, there was times that he was in the court of the prison, had a little liberty, walking around a little bit there inside the prison. There were times that enemies came in and put him in the pit. They put him in the mud, in the mire. And they actually, the king, they said, finally, someone went to the king and said, he's going to die. And he went down there and got some old rags, and they put it under his armpits and made a rope, and they had to pull it with many men to get him out of that pit, out of that mire. And maybe that's how you feel this morning, that you're still in that prison. You're in the mire. You're in the mud. It's going to take a miracle to get you out of the situation that it's in. That's where the door of hope comes in. That's where the thoughts about you, of future and hope, are there. Jeremiah's in prison. And in chapter 32 of Jeremiah, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? If you can capture that today, if you can recognize today that there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. I heard a man from Scotland preach on this one time, and he said, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. You see, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too hard. Somebody got it. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And so we can recognize that whatever we come up against, our God is able to pull us through, that there's going to be another side to this. We're going to get through it. Some things you never get over, but you do get through them because we are following one that knows our name. And then, listen again. He's in prison, and he's praying this prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, what a good phone number. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call unto me, and I will answer you. See, no voicemail. Hit 8, now hit 7, now hit 2. None of that. The old song says, Central's never busy, always on the line. You may talk to heaven almost any time. You see, and that was back when you would get a busy signal or a number, please, or something like that. Telephones had just been invented. Somebody wrote that song. But it's true that we can call upon him. He will answer us. And he will show us great and mighty things. What are these great and mighty things? 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. Health. Healing. Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. I will heal them. I will reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. All healing is not just physical healing. There's mental healing. There's emotional healing. There is spiritual healing. Thanks be to God. I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and I will rebuild those places as at the first. Look at verse 8. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. What a promise. What a promise that he will cleanse us. There is no perversion that he cannot cleanse you of. There is no addiction he cannot deliver you from. There is no problem that he cannot solve, that he is our God, and he is there to do that work. And it says that even though they have sinned, they've transgressed, he's going to cleanse them. He's going to pardon them. In the ministry God has called me to, I had to learn a little bit more about God's mercy, about the power of the blood of Jesus. Way back when we first started, there were just a few prisons in the area. There was no West Texas prisons, and we could just about go to every one of them and interview anybody that sent an application to come to us. And I was over at the Ferguson prison. At that time, it was a 17 to 21 age bracket, first offenders. And so I was there, and I was calling the people out one at a time and sitting with them. And there was this young man that was there, and he came in with a Jesus smile all over his face. I mean, I could tell that he had been born again. He was loving God. His spirit just connected with my spirit. And so in the application process, it's not like what we're in for anyway, but there's something that says, what was your sentence? And I said, okay, what was your sentence? And he said, murder. He couldn't hardly say the word, murder. And I thought I was getting ready to hear, I didn't do it. I got framed. And so I just boldly said, well, did you do it? Yes, Brother Joe. It was a little old lady. But, you know, God forgave me of that sin. You know, he has given me total forgiveness of that. The blood of Jesus cleansed me from that sin. And I thought, Joe, don't ever consider that God cannot do it. Later on, right here in the Smith County Jail, I went up to see someone that had called us, a family had called, said, will you visit my son and up there in the jail? And so I went up to see him. And so I had a cross and switchblade book in my hand. But that week, we had had a murder in Tyler. And there had been a student that had gone in and had shot a professor at UT, Tim. And he had killed this man that had two little children. And so I was there just talking to the guy that I came to visit, and I said, is so-and-so there? They said, yeah, just a minute. I didn't want to see him. I was judging him. I could see how that this wife had been left without a husband, these two children had been left without a father. And next thing I know, I was face-to-face with this guy. He came right to the window, and I said a few words, you know, just like that. Here's a book. Go read it, you know. That was about all I could do. Well, that afternoon, we had a family gathering out at Tyler State Park. And I tried to get into it, but something was troubling me inside. And I finally said to Charlotte, I've got to take a walk. And I walked all around that lake. And about the time I was getting ready to head back, I realized I was singing a song. And that song was an old song that said, yes, I know, I surely know. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Yes, I know, I surely know. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I began to weep. And the Lord said, yes, I can forgive him too. I can forgive him too. My blood is sufficient. He says he will cleanse all your iniquities. He will pardon your sins. And listen, don't bring it back up and have a memorial service to something that's dead, that's under the blood. Don't call yourself that anymore. God doesn't call you that. This young man didn't say, I'm a murderer. He said, I'm a born-again believer that Jesus Christ has set free, and I couldn't get him out of prison. He probably did the most of his life for that crime there at the prison. But God had forgiven him. He had seen him. He says here in verse 9, then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I have provided for it. Verse 10, thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, of which you say, it's desolate, without man, without beast, the cities of Judah, the streets of Jerusalem, desolate, without man, without inhabitant, without beast. You see, there had been the problem there of them having to be dispersed because of their sin, and they'd gone throughout the nations. And as I think about that, I think about our area right here. Why did God put us here? He put us here because we could be the gateway to the North Tyler, to where there's many, many needs right around us, even around us right here. Down a little bit, the low-risk jail. It's all around us. People, they're desolate. The streets are filled there with people that are in needing help. Verse 11, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. Listen to this. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. As you come in on Sunday morning, we don't know what you've been through getting ready that morning. We don't know what you've been through that week, the difficulties, the disappointments, the attacks of the enemy upon you. We don't know that. But as we come together, there is something that happens when we make a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. A sacrifice of praise to the Lord. And as we say that, there is something that happens. I had a young man that was at our Teen Challenge Center, and he was ready. He was so depressed. He was so discouraged. He was ready to leave. And I couldn't leave him there that night. We were going out on the streets of Tyler, and I said, just come go with me. And so he began to walk around the streets with us, and his down, we call it down in the dumps all the way. All of a sudden, he was from Tyler, and so he met somebody new, and he said, hey, Bill, I hadn't seen you around lately. Where you been? I've been out here at Teen Challenge. What is that place? Well, it's a place that what's it like? And the guy kept talking, and finally, when he got to the park, that he said, well, I've really been changed, you know, and I met Jesus here, and Jesus has set me free, and I've got peace in my heart that I never had, and I've got deliverance. And as he began to give that sacrifice of praise to the Lord, he was lifted out of that. He wasn't ready to leave anymore because he had given that sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. And that's what we have here, is a wonderful sacrifice of praise that we can give to the Lord our God. I will cause the captives of the land to return as at first, says the Lord. Now, God has promised. Now, his promises are fulfilled. Jeremiah 33, verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And in those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. You know who that is? That's Jesus, the branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and the righteousness in the earth. In these days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, that he is our God. And Jerusalem is going to take on his name. I want to tell you this morning, what he has put in your heart, he will do it. What he has promised you, he will bring it to pass. What he has promised you, he is able to perform it. He calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise of might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. When that promise came, it didn't look like there was going to be any Isaac. He said, but I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I want you to see this morning that God is up to something, that it's not over, that we are able to have transition and move forward as God would have it. Pastor Philip was baptizing someone, and I was back there. And all of a sudden, I got this little vision of a line of people. And I'm waiting for it. A line of people from over there all the way here waiting to get baptized because they just got saved, because they wanted to follow the Lord in baptism. They wanted to have a public demonstration of what God had done. And I believe that we can see that come to pass. You don't see it now. You see some empty seats. But God is interested in souls, and He wants to bring them in. He wants us to nurture and care for them. And even though it doesn't look possible, we can see that God has done it. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that He became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, He did not consider His own body already dead, since He was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, look at 21, being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, God has thoughts of peace and not of evil. God has a future for us, a hope for us. He is our pastor. He is our shepherd. He calls us by name. We're to know His voice, to follow Him. We're to speak to Him. We're to listen to Him. And it's time to call on the Lord. It's time to not just get through praying, but to pray through that He can show us those great and mighty things that we know not. He will fulfill His promises. He will give us that which is there. I believe this morning that God put this in my heart to give stability and to give hope to our congregation, to let you know that God is in charge. He's in control. He is able to carry things through. What He has promised, He is able to perform. And to let you know that there are things in our lives that He will forgive. There are strongholds in our lives that even as He did there too, Jeremiah's day, a promise, though they had fallen away, that He would bring them back. Though that they had the strongholds in their lives, that He would deliver. How long has it been since you've prayed through? I like the imagery of the woman with the issue of blood. She heard about Jesus. She heard about an answer. She heard about a solution. She pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of His garment. It's probably the same way with you. It's the same way with me, that things come in. They come to crowd out the presence of God. There's negatives that come our way that make it feel like it's not going to happen. I challenge you to pray through. I challenge you to listen to the voice of God. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows your need. This morning, Wednesday nights, next Sunday, next Wednesday night, the next Wednesday night, we need to pray. We need to pray till we hear what God is saying in the season that we're in. We need to understand the season. We need to be an Issachar that knows the times and the seasons that we're in. With the condition of the world around us, it's no time to not be the church that He wants us to be. I'm going to open the altars this morning if you want to seek God today. What did it say? Seek Him with your whole heart. Seek Him till you find Him. Seek Him till He is found by you. Call upon the Lord. What does He say? Call unto me. I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He will meet you. Maybe you've fallen away from God. God is calling you back. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to give you that abundant life. Would you come? Hallelujah.